We have four games left this season. There are still so many different playoff possibilities. We'll go through it all tonight and also talk about Jalen Brunson's absolute greatness. And also, we got some trivia at the end, so make sure to stick to the end. Let's do it. They're playing
basketball. Basketball. You're listening to the Knicks Nation Podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game!
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What's going on, Knicks Nation? We are back doing another podcast. This is episode 43 of the Knicks Nation Podcast. Normally do it on Sundays, but since the Knicks played, we're doing it tonight. Hope to give you guys a bunch of Knicks news tonight. I'm here joined by my podcast co-host, Chris, as always. Chris, man, what's going on? Season coming down to the end.
Four games left, man, in a roller coaster of a season for the New York Knicks. But, hey, we got an amazing win over the Milwaukee Bucks last night. And I'm feeling good, man. How are you feeling after that Bucks win?
Great. That was a huge win, man. I mean, huge win, especially the Knicks want to solidify themselves, obviously, to be in the top six. That was a huge win. And look, we have an opportunity to get to the second seed. Obviously, we'll go over all the playoff possibilities and whatnot. I got a poll in the YouTube chat. Which team would you rather have? What team would give the Knicks the easiest time against in the first round? The Cavs, Magic, Pacers, 76ers. And then you guys can vote on that, and then we'll talk it over. But, man, four games left, man. We got the Chicago Bulls, the Boston Celtics, the Brooklyn Nets, the Chicago Bulls. Many different possibilities. The NBA Eastern Conference standings will change daily. Right now, the New York Knicks are number four in the Eastern Conference. So if the season ended today, they would play the Cleveland Cavaliers, which would be a nice matchup, you know, from last year. You know, obviously we know what happened last year versus the Cavs, and obviously, you know, this year is a different year, but that'll be a good matchup in the first round for the Knicks as well. And but Chris, man, yeah, we wanted to talk about first. We're going to talk about Jalen Brunson's play. Obviously, he 40 point burger against the Milwaukee Bucks, Chris, for Jalen Brunson, and you know, MVP Brunson, man. That's what I like to call him.
MVP is right, man, because the way he performed against the Bucks. Again, the two seed at the moment. Phenomenal, man. Again, playing against Dame, who started over Jalen Brunson in the All-Star game, which, look, to me, after that game, I think it's clear who the better point guard is. Look, that's no diss on Dame per se. I know he's at the tail end of his prime, but look, it just shows you how far JB has come, man, as a player. And boy, am I glad he's on the New York Knicks.
Yeah, you know what I love about Jalen Brunson is that he's reading double teams. I mean, compared to last season and this season, his growth scoring, number one, has been impressive. But two, we've seen teams blitz him, Chris, and blitz him a lot. And what we're seeing is him make the right reads, to make the right passes, his pocket passes. We're seeing improvement in that area. And we're going to see a lot of that come playoff time. Like a lot of, you know, whoever we're facing in the first round of the playoffs are going to throw double teams at Jalen Brunson. So it's good that the New York Knicks are kind of, you know, seeing what teams are going to throw at him now, because in the playoffs it's kind of going to be similar. But yeah, I wanted to talk about his vision, Chris. I mean, it's just, you know, he's a great scorer, but his vision, and then his first read is normally you have Hartenstein right there at the top of the key, right? And what do we know Hartenstein to be? A great passer. So you have Brunson making great reads, and then Hartenstein usually making the great read as well. So, to top off his great season for Jalen Brunson, like you said, the disrespect that this man gets in the national media waves, his scoring output, what is he, fifth in the NBA in scoring? I'll double-check that in a bit. But, yeah, Chris, his passing. I mean, I'm loving what I'm seeing from his passing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, look, that was early on. What were people saying about Brunson? Look, he can score, but can he make those around him better? Can he pass? Can he get others involved? And you're seeing that clearly. Yes, he can. Yes, Jalen Brunson has to score a lot, but like you mentioned, when we saw it last night in the Bucks game, he was finding Ihart over and over and over in that paint solo.
Yeah.
And credit to Ihart, you know, able to finish over the Bucks bigs with that floater. But yeah, I see nothing but growth from JB when it comes to his reaction, what he's doing with the ball when these guys are trying to double and triple team him all game long. I mean, it's amazing how quickly he's gotten as good as he is right now facing those type of defenses. It's insane, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, and look at this list, man. Luka number one, Giannis number two, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander number three, and Jalen, I think, is it Shai Gilgeous or Shai Gil? I think it's Shai Gilgeous. I keep mispronouncing it.
It's Shai.
Shai. And then Jalen Brunson, number four, at 28 points. I was looking at Shai, sorry. 28.2 points per game. And yeah, man, fourth in the NBA in scoring. And like I said, his passing is just an icing on the cake, Chris. And, you know, look, top five in MVP voting, I think he should be considered there. I think he'll get some top five MVP votes. And whether or not, you know, look, I don't really, these lists that come out, Chris, I don't like, if he's not in these lists, I don't care. Like, it's like they want engagement from us. They want us to talk about it, right? Yeah. So yeah. As long as we know, the fans know that Brunson deserves to be in the MVP conversation. I mean, if you're watching basketball with your own two eyes, you definitely, I mean, you see it. So
not only that, and yeah, hell yeah, JB deserves to be in the MVP conversation. I mean, look, he has to be what, I guess, top five in that conversation. Obviously, I know the guys like Jokic and Giannis and, you know, Luka. Those guys are obviously going to get, you know, the bulk of the mentions when it comes to MVP. But in my opinion, Jalen Brunson, what he's doing is more impressive simply because he doesn't have somebody like a Murray to Jokic, you know, a Dame to Giannis, you know, Kyrie to Luka, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
When you really look at the full picture, you could say maybe, what, half of this season, Jalen Brunson has been without Julius Randle, who is, you know, a bona fide all-star, all-NBA type of player. Not having that and still doing what he's doing, facing these double teams, facing these triple teams, night in and night out, and teams can't stop him? Come on, man. That sounds like an MVP to me.
Yeah, man. So Brunson, scoring ability is there, but like his passing abilities, he's making the right read. Teams are throwing double teams at him, and I just one thing I noticed, and Jabroni in the chat says, the Knicks have provided JB with shooters and Devo, Bogey, Deuce, and OG. If you double him, he has multiple options that he didn't have last season. We'll even touch on a lineup that I absolutely love, Chris, when Jalen Brunson's on the court with DiVincenzo, Bogdanovich, and an OB, and Mitch. I love that lineup. We saw it a little bit versus the Bucks, and I do think come playoff time, we're going to see more of that lineup. But yeah, Knicks did a great job this past summer surrounding him with shooters, and it's paying its dividends. All right, Chris. Playoff bracket. The New York Knicks are number four in the Eastern Conference currently. Number four in the Eastern Conference currently. They would face the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let me bring up the schedule. Big Task, what's going on in the chat? Forgot to mention you. But let me bring up the schedule really quick, and then we'll go through it. We'll see. Bulls, Celtics, Nets, Bulls again. 4-0, 3-1, run the table. What do you think?
You know what? After this Bucks game, I would not be surprised if we go 4-0. 4-0, man. Because look, we gotta play better against the Bulls. You know, we were coming in, I think the last loss we had against them, we were coming off of a back-to-back, you know, type of scenario. Yeah. So I think we'll play better against the Bulls coming up. And with Boston, I mean, that's really the big one for me, right? But Boston, has been kind of staggering their guys a little bit. Sometimes you see Jason Tatum take a seat. Sometimes you see Jaylen Brown take a seat. Who's to say they won't rest more guys, considering they have, what, a 15-game lead on the Bucks or something like that? I mean,
something crazy.
You know. But regardless, I like our chances there. So I'm going 4-0. What are you thinking?
I'll go 3-1. I'll say, you know, maybe we lose. Look, 4-0 would be great. And obviously, we have to take a look at the Magic schedule. The Magic have the Bucks twice. So, like I said, this is going to be very fluent. But what I do know is I really do think we'll either play the Magic, the Pacers, or the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round. That's the highest possibly playoff probability. I have the playoff probabilities here for you guys as well. And we'll take a look at that. But yeah, I mean, we have to take a look at, you know, who else is playing. You know, right now the Knicks are highlighted. They have to finish the number two seed. The New York Knicks have a 14% chance to finish the number two seed. The number three seed, 26% chance. The number four seed, 27% chance. And the number five seed, 20% chance. And the number six seed, 10% chance. So if you look at the odds, the Knicks have the highest percent chance to finish at number four. That means you're getting home court in the first round. And if you look at this probability chart, that means who has the highest probability to finish number five? That's Indiana. Mm-hmm. So according to this chart, they have the Pacers leapfrogging possibly the Cleveland Cavaliers, which would be crazy. And then you would get your typical Knicks Pacers. NBA playoffs. How you like that?
I don't know, man. Pacers can bring it, obviously, offensively.
Yeah.
Defensively, that's a question mark. But look, man, the way a lot of these teams are playing to end the season, including Indiana, Orlando, you know, they're playing well. They're playing well. You got the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're kind of tailing off. But look, It's going to be interesting for sure. You can't say any of these matchups will be a layup per se.
No, and I don't think there'll be a layup. But like I said, if you were to tell me, if you were to get matched up between Indiana, Orlando, and Cleveland, the New York Knicks should be favored in those series. You would expect them to win that series, right? So you would expect them to advance to the second round because like if they don't, that's a disappointment, right? If let's say you go against like Indiana or like Orlando and you get knocked out, I know the excuses are there. They're built in, right? No Randall. But I would still expect this team to advance if we were to play one of them. And right here, the playoff probability says the Knicks are most likely going to finish four. But that three seed, let's say we get the three seed and the highest probability to finish the six is the Pacers. So I don't know. It's right here. It's telling you Pacers, but like I said, it's fluent, man. It's fluent. But who do you like out of these three? I have the poll in the YouTube chat. Which team do you think the Knicks would have the easiest time against? Pacers, Magic, Cavs, or the 76ers?
You know what? I can't say 76ers because if Embiid is playing like Embiid can play, which it looks like he's getting back to form, man, I'm trying to stay away from that guy, you know.
Yeah.
And I get the whole wanting the Cleveland Cavaliers because of the past, but you know what? They're going to be juiced up to play us if that scenario does unfold. Not saying that I'm trying to avoid them, but I think I might be leaning towards the Indiana Pacers, man. You know, a team that's not really known for their defense. I'd rather deal with their offensive onslaught and trust my own defense that we know the Knicks are capable of.
Yeah.
And go with that matchup. Because Orlando, again, much respect for them. You know, they beat us in the regular season. They have the tiebreaker against us and for good reason, right? You know, that's the way I'm going.
Yeah, if I were to pick, man, I mean, I've been picking these last couple of weeks, and I feel like I changed my answer every time. But, you know, hit them up in the chat. Says, I don't like that Cleveland matchup. They have too many weapons over there. Cleveland's a different team than last year. But, you know, they have the same core, right? They have the same core. They have Mitchell, who's hobbled right now. They have Jared Allen, who said that the MSG lights were too bright. They have pretty much the same core along with some other pieces. So hit them up. I get your sentiment. But yeah, I would like to play. Yeah, I think I would go Pacers. I'm leaning towards Pacers. But I just like that, you know, Haliburton has embraced that villain role, and he's him at MSG is going to be like, going to be like Trae Young all over again. They're going to chant like, you know, what they're going to chant.
Yeah.
So that'll be a fun matchup. But I can go Magic too. So I don't know.
Yeah. And Indy would be fun just for the whole Haliburton aspect, you know, him probably going at Wally on the sidelines, things like that. But look, he's also good enough that we've seen what he can do on that court, right? He's great.
He's awesome.
So, but I feel that's the same way I feel about Cleveland, same way I feel about Orlando, you know, all these teams, you know, for the most part are finishing the season pretty strong.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun for sure.
And obviously we have a 14% chance on finishing the 2 seed. You know, we're 1 game behind Milwaukee, but they own that tiebreaker. They had the Magic twice. Now, Chris, if we finish the 2 seed, we play, what, the 8 or 9 in the play-in, right? Mm-hmm. And right now the 8 or 7 in the play-in, excuse me. So right now the Bucks would either play the 76ers or the Miami Heat. So that 2 seed would be great to kind of avoid Boston in the second round. But you get in my opinion, you get a tougher opponent in the first round. Then again, this can change. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But ultimately, at the end of the day, do you just want to finish the 2 seed, kind of avoid Boston as long as possible? Because we've beaten the 76ers. The Heat are always going to poise some issues. What you want to do? Look, the East is open to mind. It's just Boston and then everyone else. So. Yeah. At the end of the day, you just want to avoid Boston as much as possible. And then hopefully we catch them. Let's say they're hobbled or they catch an injury. And then you never know. But yeah, regarding the 2 seed, you play 7 or 8. And right now that's 76ers or the Miami Heat. So when you think about that, do you care about that? Or
I don't know, man. In my opinion, I'm staying away from that 2 seed. If things finish the way they look right now, 76ers and Heat, you know, again, Heat is that sneaky type of team. I know they're not the same team they were last year, but still, they're going to go out there. They're going to play with grit. You know, they're going to give it all they got.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the 76ers, again, you got Joel Embiid out there who can be dynamic and drop 50 on you. You know, in 3 quarters. So, you know, he's those are 2 teams that I might want to stay away from. If I had to choose one or the other, I'll take the 76ers over the Heat. But, you know, in my opinion, I'm staying away from that 2 seed.
If you look at Philly, we beat them, obviously, with Embiid and Maxey. Remember we went to Philly and absolutely blew them out. But, yeah, there's more superstar power, right? You have Embiid and Maxey. Compared to if you were to play like an Orlando or Cleveland where we know we can handle them and kind of the lights are too bright for them, then I would prefer that. And the Heat, look, the Heat are not your typical, like every year, the Heat are not. If the Bucks get matched up with the Heat, I guarantee you everyone's going to pick Miami to win that series. So they're not your prototypical 8th seed. So, but the 2 seed also comes with benefits. Again, trying to avoid Boston as much as possible. SP50, what's going on? I want the Cavs in the first round. A lot of people want the Cleveland Cavaliers. Look, season ended today. 4-5 matchup. Knicks, Cavs is your first round matchup. And we would have home court. Remember last year they had home court. So this time it would flip. We would have home court. And that's your matchup right now. But it can fluctuate. Buzzer Beater says we pushed the Cavs, bigs, around last year, they added a couple of shooters, but I see us winning in that series 4-2. Yeah, no matter how you look at it, I would pick the Knicks over the Cavs. I would pick the Knicks over the Magic. I would pick the Knicks over the Pacers. Not being biased here. I just think we would have the best player in each one of those series because playoff Brunson is different. You can compare Brunson with Banchero. You can compare him with Halliburton. But what is that? That would be Halliburton. This will be Halliburton's first time in the playoffs, right? So
yeah. I believe Banchero as well.
Yeah. So these guys are inexperienced. But, you know, at the end of the day, if we get matched up with them, anything can change in game one. They come in and they smack us around and then we have a whole different story. But like I said, yeah. Two seed comes with benefits, kind of leaves you to avoid Boston as much as possible. But if the season were to end today, you see the Bucks, they would play either the 76ers or the Miami Heat. Now, if you're saying to yourself, I don't care. Two seed, huge accomplishment. Get me the two seed. And then we just go from there. 76ers, cool. Embiid, in the playoffs, he's not really Embiid. I mean, he hasn't really shown up in the playoffs, right? Heat?
That's true.
I don't know, man. He scared me.
It's just, you know, playoff Jimmy Butler. Yeah. And, you know, just the Heat in general, man, they go to another level, you know? And look, not to say that, you know, I wouldn't like us in a series against the Heat because we did give them, you know, fits. I think we were the only team actually to take it to the Heat, you know, as well. But it's just something about them, man. You know, I don't know if it's just the fact that Julius Randle got injured against him. We always, you know, complain about the picks that Bam Adebayo sets. You know, that's not something I want to deal with early on in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's not, but it's a possibility, right? Right here, the projected stand. Look, these are all odds. They're projecting the Miami Heat to finish number 7. So in the play-in tournament. And look, it could be Heat. What is it? Heat 76ers in the play-in tournament, which is kind of crazy. Wow. And yeah, so Knicks highest projection is number 4. And this, I'm trying to, who was it? The Pacers, right? Yeah, Pacers highest projection the 6th seed, excuse me. So it's going to fluctuate, man. It's going to fluctuate. But all in all, when it's all said and done, I think I would honestly, it'll come down to that trio. Magic, Cleveland, Indiana, sign me up. And then we can win that round. We can advance second round, tip the ball up, and let's do it. So.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, look, I like the Knicks in all three of those matchups per se, mostly because of OG Anunoby, man. And look, we saw it last night against Giannis, you know, that Giannis got his points and all that, but OG is such an elite defender, man, and he's going to be the difference, you know? And like they mentioned, Cleveland got better shooters, you know, but I still feel the Knicks got better defensively and defense wins championships, right?
Yes, sir. That's what they say. Defense wins championships. Hit some of these comments. Jabroni says, all of Cleveland's core guys are soft. Neither Garland nor Donovan Mitchell can guard JB and Mitch. And Ihart can dominate Allen and Mobley. Yes, even seeing good things out of Mitchell Robinson lately. Buzzer Beater says, watch our magic number. I believe it's 1, Buzzer Beater. That's it, man. We win 1. We lock up top 6. And then it's just a matter of where the dominoes fall into place. And this week, we're going to know. At the end of the week, we're going to know who we're going to play in the first round of the playoffs. Pretty exciting. Him says, not really. I don't want to face the Miami Heat or the 76ers first round. Third seed is what we want. Yeah. Third seed plays the 6th seed. And look, it could be the 76ers finishing the 6th seed. You know, they're rolling right now. So it could be that. But we just have to wait and see at the end of the day. I mean,
yeah.
At this point, you can't, like, it just will fall into place, you know?
Yeah, it's insane when you really look at the standings and you realize how closely all of these teams are bunched up, man. Literally from 2nd seed down, it's anybody's game still, which is, it's nuts with 4 games to go.
Yeah, it is. Look, 76 is the game behind Indiana Pacers. Not sure if they own that tiebreaker, but. Look, 76ers have won 5 straight games. Pacers have won 2 straight games. So, yeah, it's fluent, man. It is very fluent right now. So, I do think the Knicks will finish 3 or 4. You know, get home court And whoever gets that sixth seed, let's say Cleveland falls or Indiana stays there or Philly jumps them. Who knows? Do you think the Knicks, like, if there's like, they like got it locked up last game of the season and home court is locked up. It's just a matter of if they finish three or four. Do you feel like they'll rest people? Or do you feel like, I think they will.
I don't know. Only because they had asked, I believe they asked JB recently, hey, you guys watching the score? And he kind of said, yeah, of course. Don't you see who my head coach is? So to me, you know, I think Tibbs is going to have them out there. Yeah. If it were to benefit them, you know, if it's to get a better seating or something like that, or maybe even a matchup they feel good about, you know, I think that would kind of decide whether they're going to rest people or not. But I do think they'll be careful with guys like JB, you know. I don't think you'll see him playing, you know, as many minutes. Same with OG Anunoby. You got to be a little bit cautious, right? You don't want another freak accident to happen or injury.
Yeah, exactly. I think, though, if anyone, they're going to rest their main guys. And then everyone else would play. But it's yeah, man, it's going to come down to the last game of the season. I really do think it is. And then the last game, we'll know who we are going to play. Buzzer Beater said OG's jumper doesn't look smooth. I don't think he is 100%. Yeah, I mean, it looks flat. But what we saw against Milwaukee is that he was awesome versus Giannis in the second half. So it'll come, hopefully. I know it's his elbow. I'm hoping that it comes. But, you know, Chris, OG's jumper is flat. You know, are you worried about that? Or are you just hopefully it'll – I mean, he's still dealing with this elbow thing. He's out there, but as long as he's giving us good defense, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried about it because, in my opinion – if his elbow was like hurting him or something like that, we wouldn't see him reaching out there trying to get steals on Giannis, right?
Yeah.
And I think that to me is the most encouraging part about it was he was being active on defense, reaching his arm out, you know, on Giannis, who's like driving full speed. You know, it doesn't look like he's in pain or anything like that. I just think he's trying to get back into rhythm, right? And, you know, that little brace that he's wearing on his elbow has to be, you know, it has to be giving him a little bit of a fit in a sense. Like, you know, these guys are like creatures of habit, right? When they have new things, they got to get used to it. So I think that's kind of what's going on with OG Anunoby. But as long as his defense is there, I'm A-okay with it.
Likewise, I think his offense will come, it'll come. But Bogdanović has really stepped up here. So, but I think it'll come. Hopefully it'll come. Because
who stepped up?
Bogdanović.
Can you say that again?
Bogey has finally arrived, ladies and gentlemen. Bogey is. We'll talk about Bogey in a quick second. I wanted to hit some of these comments. Evan says Mitch is back. Let's smash the Magic. Fakey Fake, love the name. Huge game next Friday. Cavs versus Pacers will decide seedings. I don't want the 2 or 3 seed. No way. I want to face 76ers, then Bucks, then Celtics, then Nuggets. That is, yeah, that's a rough path right there.
That's a hell of a road to take, man.
Yeah. So,
but wow, that would be a sweet road to conquer, but I agree. I don't want any part of that.
Yeah. Like, look, the odds are setting up for us to face Indiana, like I said, Cleveland or Orlando in the first round. And then, look, we should be good. And then, I mean, you'll predict a Knicks win, and I mean, we'll go through the predictions when that time comes, obviously, but, you know, the Knicks should be projected to win those series.
Yeah. For sure.
Cavs will protest if they have to face the Knicks again. Big Taz says, Cavs don't want us again, man. Cleveland, look, their whole rally cry would probably be, what? Seek revenge. That'll probably be on their towels in Cleveland. Seek revenge. Let's go get them this time.
The lights are not as bright anymore or something like that. I don't know, man. Look, I think it would be a fun series, man. But, you know, outside of Donovan Mitchell, I'm not too concerned. But Donovan Mitchell is that wild card, man. You know, he's going to give us his best shot, you know. But I like our chances. I still like our chances, man. But they have improved as a team. They have improved. They're just banged up right now. So who knows what you'll see, get out of the Cavs in that series.
Yeah. Fakey Fake says the tiebreaker is head-to-head record. Yes, and I believe if it's tied, then it goes by division or conference record. Deuce will probably play 48 minutes in the last game. Evan says he put Giannis in timeout. Yeah. Buzzer Beater says, congrats to my dad's favorite Nick, Dr. Dick Fallback Baby Barnett, on being inducted to the Naismith Hall of Fame. Yes, Buzzer Beater, congrats to Dick Barnett on becoming inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame. That news came out, what, a few days ago. I saw that. It's absolutely cool. Let's do it.
That's amazing. Amazing news. Dick Barnett now in the Hall of Fame. That was actually leaked by Walt Frazier nonetheless, but look, one of the most iconic jump shots you'll ever see, you know, just hanging in the air, legs up, and it was just splash almost every damn time. Shout out to Dick Barnett.
Yes, sir. Shout out to you, Buzzer Beater, for bringing that up. Yeah, Bulls, Celtics, Nets, Bulls. We brought it up early on in the podcast. I believe we'll go 3-1 in this stretch. Chris thinks we'll run the table. Look, it depends on – look, it's not a hard schedule. Boston is wrapping things up here. They're resting guys here and there periodically. But I do think we'll win 3 out of the next 4 games. And, look, if the Bucks lose 3 out of the next 4 games, then we hop in that 2 seed. But it all depends on the Magic. They own that tiebreaker too. So,
yeah.
So, that's the schedule for this week. And then we have – talk about Bogdanović, Chris. Bojan Bogdanović, what are they, 5-0? Here we go. The Knicks are 5-0, and Bojan Bogdanović shoots 50% or better from the floor and 50% or better from deep. It's simple, right? Simple.
Yeah. Yeah, put the ball in the basket and good things happen, right? I mean, look, like Tommy Bear is saying here in this post, X factor. And that's exactly what Bogdanović is. He's the X factor because, more importantly, he's been scoring now when Brunson is off the court. And, man, I think it was against the Bucks last night as well. He had like 8 points at a time when the Bucks were, you know, looking to extend their lead, which to me was overlooked because obviously Jalen Brunson had a hell of a game. So did Iheart. But Bogdanović was an important part of that game last night. And thank God, because, you know, things were looking pretty bleak for Bogdanović, man. And we see Alec Burks, he's stuck on the bench now. Bogdanović is finally coming around and showing us something. And look, I just hope it continues, because what a weapon to have, man. If he's on, that's just another plus for us coming down to this last 4-game stretch.
And look, the playoff rotation, in my opinion, is set. You have your starting five. You have Brunson, Devo, OG. You have Hart, and you have Isaiah Hartenstein. I just blanked for a second. And then you have your 3 guys off the bench. It's Bogdanović, it's Deuce, and it's Mitchell Robinson. We're seeing Precious kind of get weeded out here. We're seeing Burks kind of being glued on the bench. And yeah, I just feel like that's your playoff rotation. A lot of Knicks fans actually wanted to tinker with the lineup of Bogdanović actually kind of starting in place of Josh Hart in case we needed some offense. But we've seen the Knicks kind of tinker with Bogdanović with the starters. They're playing him in game. He doesn't necessarily need to start, but in game, like we saw in the Bucks game, and from three, I think in his last 10 games, he's shooting above 40% from three. So, look, this is why we traded for Bogdanović. We needed this scoring punch off the bench, and it's finally paying its dividends, and hopefully it keeps up. I literally just posted a video about it if you guys wanted to check that out. But, yeah, man, Bogey, finally doing what he was traded for.
Yeah, man. I think, look, with OG Anunoby back as well, like I said, I feel like players are just – getting back to the spots they're supposed to be in, not doing, you know, more than what they were brought here to do. And that includes Bogdanović. So now Bogdanović can go out there and only worry about being a flamethrower. You know, just go out there and give us offense. And so far, so good. So far, so good, man. A lot better than what we were getting, at least. And I'll take that.
Yes, I will take that indeed. This is also from NBA University. Most catch and shoot three-point attempts per game post-All-Star break. Dante DiVincenzo is, look, 41% shooter on catch and shoot three-point shooters. Dante has also been a huge part of what we're trying to do. I'm honestly intrigued to see Dante's playoff run with us. Deuce, we don't know what Deuce looks like in the playoffs. I mean, remember, we were all excited to see Quickly's jump in the playoffs, and then it kind of didn't work out. So I'm excited to see Deuce. Hopefully he can, you know, playoffs are a different animal. Like, they're a totally different game, right? Some guys play well in the playoffs. Some guys don't perform well in the playoffs, especially in MSG. It's a different world out there. So I'm excited to see the guys. And I do think at the end of the day, because we have that Villanova connection, I'm not too concerned about it, but it is like a thought in my head. Like, how would Deuce perform in the playoffs? You know, it's a thought in my head. I think about it.
I think it's fair. I mean, like you said, you mentioned Emmanuel Quickly, who was having a fantastic season. I mean, he had a fantastic season.
Yeah.
But then when it came to the playoffs, he just looked hesitant, timid. He wasn't getting to his spots. He was getting just pushed off of all his spots and didn't give us the impact we expected until he basically, I think he got hurt. He got banged up. So it does make you wonder, but I think when it comes to Miles McBride, he's overcome so much and he's grown so much. I don't see him shying away from what brought him here. I think he has that toughness to go out there and just stick to what got him here. So I think we'll see good things from Miles McBride.
I do. I'm confident in it. But at the end of the day, we just have to, you know, until we see it, you don't really know. You know, playoffs, different animal. So but I have faith in McBride. I mean, his growth this year, I'm sure in the playoff time, it's just going to continue from the playoff time. And then Stanley in the chat says, isn't Burks dealing with a sore shoulder? If that's what you want to believe, Stanley, but Burks is, he's done, man. He's out of the rotation. And look, when Anunoby came back, it relegated McBride to the bench. And I was wondering, like, does that mean no more Burks? And then we didn't see it for Chicago because, remember, Josh Hart got ejected. So it kind of, you needed Burks to come in and kind of spell some guys. But last game, Hart was there playing. Deuce came off the bench. No Alec Burks. And I think he's out of the rotation. I think that's it. So,
yeah. Not only that, Josh Hart had a, you know, he was banged up a bit. His wrist was hurting him, I believe. So, like, again, if you wanted to give Josh Hart some rest and throw in Alec Burks in there, we didn't see it. We didn't see it. And you're talking about a Tibbs favorite. You know, he was brought in here specifically because he was a Tibbs guy. They loved what he did in the past. But look, man, Tibbs is doing what's best for the team. And he's saying, hey, Alec, sorry, man. Don't know what happened to you on the ride over from Detroit, but you're going to sit on that bench until you either get right or you don't.
Yeah. And look, Precious is now sitting right next to him on the bench. He hasn't really been playing well these last couple of weeks. So what did he play, 5 minutes last game? And look, matchup depends on the matchup. That's your rotation. Three guys off the bench and you're starting five. In the playoffs, we all know Tom Thibodeau loves to shrink his rotation. And I think right now the three guys he trusts off the bench, Bogdanović, Mitchell Robinson, and Deuce. So that's your rotation right there. Hit some of these more comments. Johnson says, I am not confident that Bogey's performance will be consistent. Johnson, I can't argue with you because Bogdanović has kind of been up and down, right? But what we've seen lately, look, what I said in the video is he came over from Detroit, new situation. What is he great at? Shooting the ball, right? He's a great sniper. He's a great catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. Normally for his career, he's about 40%. New situation, new role. So I don't want to make excuses for him, but sometimes it takes – I think Wally Szczerbiak even brought it up on the broadcast. Sometimes it takes these guys, like, sometimes to get adjusted to their new role. And what we have seen, I mean, it's in the numbers that lately his last 10 games over 40% from three, we've seen some improvement. And I was at that Heat game in Miami, and he looked good. He looked really good. So, and I was like, that's the Bogdanović that we've been missing. And that'll be huge in the playoffs, coming in off the bench, knocking down those open threes. But I mean, you can't argue with Johnson. He's not confident.
Yeah, man. I can't. Yeah. I can't argue with that. But look, that's the missing part of it, right? Bogdanović is playing better, but the consistency is the key. So hopefully he can string some games together where he's, you know, these last four games, hopefully he shows us that he's back into that rhythm, you know, maybe not as good as what he was doing in Detroit, but, you know, I'll take 15 points from Bogey. You know, that to me is more than enough.
Yeah. Big Taz says, I think Donovan Mitchell is going to sneak on the Knicks travel bus during a game against the Hornets. Big Taz, man. Yeah, man. Look, poll is up to 43 votes if you guys haven't voted. Which team do you think the Knicks would have the easiest time against in the first round? Can you just guess who's winning, Chris? They want the Cavs.
The Cavs, yeah.
They want the Cavs. Cavs at 70%, Magic at 16%, Pacers at 12%, and the 76ers, which I don't want a part of, but it's a possibility, at 2%. So, yeah, man, give me Cleveland.
I get it. I get it. After what we've seen in the past, man, you know. But I will say, you know, every playoff series, is different. You know, the past is the past. I like our chances against the Cavs. I just can't get too cocky, you know.
I do. I like it. Look, I'm sure the Knicks will love their chances against the Cavs. They'll love their chances against Orlando. Knicks faithful would travel down to Orlando. And then they'll love their chances against Indiana. All those series, I'm not saying will be easy. But I'm saying in a perfect world, you know, I'm picking the Knicks to win those series. And the Knicks should get to the second round of the playoffs. And then anything can happen in the second round. You know, injuries occur.
Yep.
You just never know. So right now, what you want to do? Magic numbers down to one, I believe. All in all, we just want to solidify ourselves in the top six. It's looking like we are going to with the next game, hopefully at Chicago again. And yeah, I mean, this is going to come down to the last couple of games. I think, let me just pull up Cleveland's schedule. Because I know Cleveland.
Down to the wire.
Down to the wire, man. Cleveland has three games left versus Memphis, versus Indiana, and versus Charlotte. So that's the game Big Tass was talking about. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of an easy schedule. But the way Cleveland's playing, let's say they lose two out of those three and then they drop down to five or six, you know, and then it's a different story. But it's fluent. It's fluent.
There's just so many different outcomes that can happen from now to the end of the week. It's, you know. It's nuts, man. It's nuts. But that's what makes it fun, right? That's what these last four games, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how things play out.
What do you think the ceiling is for this Knicks team currently?
I'll say second round. Because without Julius Randle, I feel like, you know, that was a big blow, obviously. I was feeling really good if we were going to get Julius Randle back. Again, not knowing really what he was going to give us anyway, but you felt a lot better than, you know, not having him there. So I think second round, you know, maybe I'm selling us a little bit short, but what are you thinking?
Second round. I think their ceiling is Eastern Conference Finals, but I think realistically it'll be second round. Like I said, it depends if we get matched up with round one.
Right,
and
right.
As long as we got number 11, right, look, man. I mean, this. If anything, what Jalen Brunson has shown us is he can put us on his back, and he's done it before. And now he has complementary pieces around him. Compile that with OG and Mitch coming in off the bench. Look, I even without Randle, I know it's a big blow. Even without Randle, I still do think we can win. Around, I'm expecting them to run around. If they don't win around, Chris, I think I'll be a little bit disappointed because,
I look,
you come all this way and then you get knocked out by the Pacers in the first round. that's not going to sit well with me this summer. You know, that's not going to sit well with me. I'm not going to like that.
Yeah, I agree. I would definitely be a little bit disappointed, you know, if they didn't, you know, get to the second round. But look, excuse me. I'm liking what I'm seeing in the chat, man. We got a lot of Eastern Conference Finals out there. So I love that positivity out there, man. I love that. I could see that happening too, you know. But again, it's all on what the matchups are. And that's, again, I like our chances against any team out there. But the playoffs are, you know, it's a monster. So,
yeah.
Ask me again at the end of this week when I figure out who we're going to play.
I know. I just want the opponent so bad, but it's like so, like, we don't know. Like, we really don't. Like I said, the highest odds are Knicks, Indiana. Those are the highest odds right now. So take that for what you will. I would pick us, and Obi Toppin's return to MSG, and the villain in Haliburton coming back to MSG. So, yeah, the ceiling is the Eastern Conference Finals. Alberto, what's going on? Jabroni says the ceiling is the Eastern Conference Finals. The floor is the second round exit. CM says the ceiling is the champs.
Let's go.
What's going on, CM? Big Taz says, I can't stand the Magic. They have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Yeah, look, the more I think about it, the Magic, their weakness is they can't really shoot, right? They're not a great three-point shooting team. But if you were to compare them to Cleveland or Orlando, I don't know. I know we can handle Cleveland, but they're a different team. They're not the same team as last year. But I would say Orlando. In that scenario, you know, I don't know. It's tough.
I know Orlando can't really shoot per se, but they're a streaky team, man. So it's kind of like
some dogs on their team. They got some dogs.
And that's the thing. When it comes to Orlando, man, if they do get some shots to go down, you're kind of in trouble then. Because Banchero is a beast. And then, like you said, they have a solid group of guys all around, you know, they have good depth, and that's their strength, in my opinion.
And I do think they have somebody to throw at Brunson, whether that's Suggs or the other. Remember, they came to MSG and he tried to punk Brunson. Who was it? The rookie? I think it was his name was Anthony Black or something.
Yes,
yep. Anthony Black. They have Suggs. They're gonna try to throw as many things at Jalen Brunson as possible. But like I said, they got some dogs on the team. But that'll be enough. I switched it. I think it's Cleveland again. I switched it. See, I just keep switching it.
That's how it is.
Stanley says the Pacers are very deep, but they don't play any good D. That's the thing. They're very deep. They can score in spurts, but they don't play any good defense. So we have to keep up with them scoring, and it's whether or not you think we can. At some point, playoffs, it's a different animal though. But yeah, every team poses like the Pacers are a great scoring team, don't play defense. Magic can beat you kind of methodically. Right now, the Knicks are, I think, the slowest paced team in the NBA. So the Magic kind of, I'm not sure where the Magic are, but they can beat you with Paolo and many. They have a lot of guys that can just beat you in many different ways. Cleveland. They have Donovan Mitchell and Garland, and they pose, you know, another, you know, tough matchup in a playoff series. And then obviously you have Philly and Miami, but yeah, each team poses their own challenge, and you know,
yeah, I guess when it comes to, you know, playoff time. You know, you can say Orlando, yes, they got depth and all that. And same thing with the Pacers, right? Young team. You got to bank on your experience, right? So the Knicks are the team in those two scenarios that they have the most experience, right?
Yeah.
So you usually the team that has that experience is the one that comes out on top. So when you look at it from that perspective, you know, Cleveland, again, another team that, yeah, got bounced, you know, by the Knicks, but they've been there too. So from that scenario, you'd really think Cleveland and the Knicks are the two teams, you know, that have that experience. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Experience wins out. So
yeah.
Do you want to face the Cavs and when you look at it from that perspective, or do you want to go with a team like an Orlando or the Pacers who are inexperienced and maybe, you know, they don't know what the playoffs is all about?
The thing about the Cavs right now is that they're hobbled. Donovan Mitchell wasn't healthy. I don't think he'll be healthy for the playoffs. I think he'll be out there, but he's not going to be as healthy. But yeah, like you said, maybe they can grow from last year. Maybe they know the ins and outs of, you know, MSG and whatnot. Maybe that's their rallying cry. Look, each team is going to pose a tough matchup, but yeah, you're right about Cleveland, but they would have Donovan Mitchell who can get hot at any given moment. But at the end of the day, I can combat that with Jalen Brunson hasn't lost to Donovan Mitchell, right?
Facts.
So, you know, that's why the poll is up to 70%. Everyone wants the Cavs, you know? That's just facts.
I get it, man. Whether he was a Knick or on the Mavs, you know, Jalen Brunson has proven when it comes to matchup with Donovan Mitchell, he's the guy.
Rick, what's going on? Didn't know we were live. Yeah. Normally we're live every Sunday, but the Knicks have been playing these past Sundays or we're live today. Yeah, make sure you guys hit that notification bell to make sure, you know, you get the alerts that when we're live, you can just hop on here and come join us in the chat. Yeah, man, we're just talking it up, kind of reset the room a little bit. Knicks have 4 games left this season, 4 games to get to 50 wins. It's a possibility they can run the table. 4 games left, that's it. And then the playoffs start after that, play-in tournament, and then the playoffs. And right now we have just been talking over who do we want to get matched up with, what's the biggest possibility. I think I threw out the Knicks, Pacers have the biggest possibility right now. So, but that can change tomorrow. Knicks win, Pacers lose, that's going to change. But we were just going over everything. It's the playoffs are coming, and I'm excited. And we started to talk about the Knicks ceiling and how far do you think they can go. We opened up with Jalen Brunson's MVP play about how he's getting more people involved. He's seeing blitzes. He's seeing double teams more, kind of getting prepared for the playoffs, making the right read. Giving it to Isaiah Hartenstein. Isaiah Hartenstein is making the right pass 9 times out of 10. I mean, that combination alone, I love. Then you combat that with OG. He'll get his shot back, hopefully. OG's back. And then, look, playoffs are always an exciting time in the city. Back-to-back years, we made it to the playoffs, and it's just now a matter of who's going to get this smoke in the first round, man? Who's going to get this smoke in MSG? That's what we're talking over, you know.
And according to the poll that we got up, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers who we want.
Yeah, 51 votes, Cavs 71%, Magic 18%, Pacers at 10%, 76ers at 2%. So if you guys haven't voted in that poll, make sure to do so already. I even have a couple of more graphics. Boom, Chris. This is from Knicks PR. What we got?
Jalen Brunson has recorded his 9th 40th point game of the season, which breaks a 3-way tie with Bernard King, Carmelo Anthony. He has now registered the 3rd most 40-point games in a single season in Knicks history. Wow. Bernard King and Carmelo Anthony, two Knick greats, right? That's some good company to be in, man.
That's some great company, man. Like I said it on the post game, I think Brunson is already up there between, look, him and Ewing and his all-time Nick. I mean, look, what Brunson has done these past couple of years, it's just gotten us excited, and he just keeps on improving. Whether it's his scoring, his passing, and we know he's a difference maker in the playoffs. He knows as long as the troops are behind him, they're going to get his back. And that's, look, this is crazy, man. Brunson, yeah. 9th 40-point game of the season. 9th 40-point game of the season. It's crazy. He's already up there with Bernard King and Melo in terms of doing that. So,
shout out to Jalen Brunson, man. And what more can we say about this guy?
Shout out to JB. And yeah, apparently some more. And this is from Tommy Beer again. Over the next past five games, Brunson is averaging 36.2 points and 9 assists. He is the first and only player in Knicks franchise history to average 35 points and 9 assists over a five-game span. Wow. Guys, this is why I said don't count us out, man. Don't count us out yet. I know Randall's down, but I also had this weird little, I know it's a kind of unfair question, but I thought I might ask it. Let's say Knicks make it to the second round. They get a good matchup and we advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, Chris. What do you think the conversation would be this summer about the whole Randall situation? Hypothetically speaking.
You know, I know exactly where it'll go. It'll be, do the Knicks need Julius Randle after they made such a deep run in the playoffs? It'll be something to that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that, though, to be honest. You know?
Yeah, I don't know if I like that either, but yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's exactly where I think the media would go with that, for sure. Because they're going to be like, hey, look, no Julius Randle, Knicks made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, they're probably thinking, what can you get with that Julius Randle money that can improve this team since they made it to the Eastern Conference Final? But again, you know, I don't like it. I think with Julius Randle, me personally, I want him around on this Knicks squad.
It's going to be an interesting conversation, but look, hypothetically, I'm not expecting that, but I'm saying if we make it to the second round and we make some noise, I mean, you're going to have fans. I mean, you have Evan in the chat, trade Randall. You're going to have fans saying trade Randall. I'm not on that boat. I think Randall is Alberto says I was a Randall hater, but now I think we do need him to keep this entire team intact. Yeah, a lot of fans changed up. You know, a lot of fans didn't like Randall. And then January hit, and don't forget, Randall kind of changed his game a little bit. Think about how it looked in January. Think about how great this Knicks team was. Look, I'm sure the Knicks will tinker here and there. They have two draft picks this coming summer. But it's going to be a conversation. His name will be in trade rumors. It will probably be Cat all over again. And then, you know, it's just a matter of if he recovers good from his shoulder. Hopefully he got the surgery and everything went well on that front. But it's going to be a conversation. It's New York. You can't escape it. But it's good. It's good for talk show radio. It's good for us to talk it out. But I just thought it was interesting because, you know, Brunson, because let's say we match up against Orlando and we beat them in five in the first round. Second round, let's say we find ourselves a good matchup and then we take them all the way to game seven. And then it's going to be a conversation. But like Evan says, we can't pay them all. But Randall's contract is team friendly. It's only, what, $27 million next year? 28, something like that, Chris?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and I think that's the key, you know. It's really Randall's contract, you know. Because, again, like going back to Cat and his contract, I think that kind of cripples you a bit in a sense. But look, I personally feel, look, Julius Randle, he's a big part of this team. And I think the Knicks are still committed to Julius Randle, you know. Obviously, the news came out that he re-injured his shoulder. But then you still got some people on the Knicks side saying, you know, no, he just decided to get the surgery. It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird, man, because we did hear that report where they said Julius came out and said he re-injured. But again, Knicks are kind of trying to, like, I guess, do damage control on that and say that, no, it was more like he just, you know, decided to get the surgery because it wasn't right. I don't know, man. I don't know. But I do think Julius will come back okay from this. He's a tough guy and he gives it his all, man. And that's what I love about Julius Randle. Through all the ups and downs, this guy has wanted to be here. And that's the type of players I want here. Guys that want to be here and be a part of this.
Rick in the chat says, we look unbeatable, healthy. Well, we were. I mean, yeah. We were. And you probably replace this summer. You're going to replace Burks. I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's going to be always that that next move. But the Knicks have done absolutely an incredible job. The front office has done an incredible job. But like Chris said, I don't think they'll do Randall like that. But I said, like, I think they'll – obviously they're going to re-sign Anunoby this summer. But it all depends what happens in the playoffs, because if we get knocked out in the first round, it's going to be, you know, obviously we were missing Jew, and that's a valid reason. But if we advance and kind of get maybe to the – not saying we will, but surprise us and get to the Eastern Conference Finals – I've already heard it on radio stations. Like, we don't need Randall. Like, we don't need Randall. Like, this makes our team better. I don't agree with that, but I've already, I'm hearing that, you know, it's happening, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting topic, you know, that's why this upcoming playoff run is, whether you like it or not, it's gonna maybe kind of, I don't know, sway the fate of Randall's being on the Knicks next season. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's that's a possibility, right? Yeah. And I think the crazy part about it is that we saw every kind of like side of this play out. We saw the Knicks healthy with OG Anunoby, which we looked unstoppable. Then boom, Julius Randle goes out. We see the Knicks with just OG Anunoby and Jalen Brunson and the rest of the guys. And play well, you know, been playing really well, actually. So, in my opinion, I just think we don't give enough credit to Julius Randle when he's out there, man. Because Jalen Brunson, yes, he's going insane and he's putting up great numbers. But he has to work for every single bucket. He's getting beat up in the paint. He's doing literally almost everything. Everything goes to Jalen Brunson. And before it wasn't that. You know, he had Julius Randle there, kind of to give him a break, you know, in between plays, kind of just to take the offensive focus away. And that's stuff that I think, you know, is priceless when it comes to Julius Randle and having Jalen Brunson together. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think Jalen Brunson can go an entire season without a gravitational pull type of player that Julius Randle would give you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's well said, man. I mean, that's takes the load off for Brunson. It really does. Just Knicks, what's going on? Magic in the chat. What's going on, Magic? Randall off the bench next year. Don't think that's going to happen, Magic. yeah, don't think that's going to happen. And then Alberto says, Anthony, who is your other panelist's name? You want to introduce yourself, Mr.
My name is Chris.
Yeah, nice, that's Chris. We do weekly pods, live streaming. We normally do it Sundays at 9:30, but the Knicks played last night, so we kind of push it. Look, when the playoffs hit, we're going to be after every playoff game. Kind of want to give you guys a quick update now. We're going to be on here reacting to the game prior, and then reacting to the game coming up. So after every playoff game, we're going to push out as much content as possible. But yeah, Chris, you want to get into the trivia now? What you want to do, around the NBA or trivia?
Let's do the trivia. I'm kind of excited for the trivia.
All right, guys. Every week we do trivia. Chris is 1-1. Chris is 1-0. Excuse me.
Oh.
I'm 0-1. This week is my turn to ask Chris a question, and you guys can chime in as well. I kind of asked the question, and then we just go from there. All right, Chris. Which Knicks player holds the NBA single season record for field goal percentage? Is it A, Tyson Chandler? Is it B, Patrick Ewing? Is it C, John Starks? Is it D, Mitchell Robinson?
Ooh.
Once again,
it's not John Starks. I'm ruling that one off right off the bat. You know what?
Let me repeat it one more time. Which Knicks player holds the NBA single season record for field goal percentage? Tyson Chandler, Patrick Ewing, John Starks, or Mitchell Robinson?
I'll go.
Tyson Chandler was a beast. You know what I'm saying?
I'm stuck between Tyson Chandler and Mitch, man. Because Tyson Chandler, he just caught lobs, man. That was all day.
He did. Mitch is a beast, too. You know
what? I'm going to go with Mitchell Robinson. I'm going to go with the guys in the chat. I'm seeing Mitch in there. I'm going with Mitch.
Oh, you did your little phone a friend. Last week it didn't work out for me. Just Nick says Mitch. Evan says Mitch. Chris.
Mitch, final answer.
I'm afraid you're right again.
Let's go.
2-0. It is Mitchell Robinson. Ooh, I was intrigued by by Tyson Chandler. But yeah, it was in year 2019, 2020. Mitchell Robinson had the highest field goal percentage for the New York Knicks. Pandemic shortened season.
Ooh. So, and that's kind of where I got stuck. I'm like, Mitch has been out a lot. You know, I was leaning Tyson, but the chat swayed me. Thank you guys. Appreciate y'all.
Magic said Tyson. No, it's Mitch. Nick Yak says Mitch, and it's a league record. Yeah, man. Mitch, that one year, that pandemic year. Man, what a time that was. That was crazy when we had Mitch and Barrett and we were stinking up the joint.
Hey, Evan, man,
says he phoned me.
It was all needed to get to where we're at now, right?
Yes, sir. So you are 2-0 and now you can try to stump me. I gotta get a victory, man.
That's it. I'm running away with this trivia, man.
All right, let's go around the NBA. What we got?
Today was Eclipse Day, right? So I guess we could start with that, you know, just put up that pick. Jalen Brunson out there with his Villanova alum looking at the solar eclipse. What do you think? Do you want these guys looking up there, you know, probably compromising their eyes?
They were wearing the glasses. Josh R. tweeted, where can I find the glasses? They're in Chicago right now. And it's just funny how, you know, this picture, a lot of people were having like different memes about like what they're looking at. And they're looking at the championship trophy and whatnot. So, no. Guys having fun. Eclipse Day. I thought it was a little bit overrated, but.
Hey, man, I think I had, you know, I was over here with my daughter. She was checking it out. You know, I thought she was having a good time, but it took her like 2 seconds to be uninterested in it. But whatever. It's cool. It's cool that it happened.
Evan says the sky is the limit. Yeah, there we go. Like that, Evan. Sky is the limit. And then we also have, what, Nick's getting fined for something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so this was reported by Shams, and apparently the New York Knicks were fined $25,000 for violating the injury reporting rules on March 27th versus Toronto. Apparently, you know, the Knicks didn't let, I guess, the NBA office know ahead of time that Mitch was going to be playing that game, so they got fined. And this was something that happened with Philly, too. But
they
apparently
got fined $100,000.
Yes. Yes, because they've broken the rules over and over and over again, and the NBA decided to blast them.
What was it like? Was he ruled out, and then they upgraded him? Like, I forgot.
He was injured. He was still marked out, and I guess he just came back, and they didn't report it until like maybe 20 minutes before the game.
Yeah,
so. Not sure why that matters, but I guess they consider it some sort betting. Of advantage, right?
Betting has taken over in today's league. So the NBA wants, you know, the teams to have an updated injury report on the spot. So 25K That's dropping crazy. A bucket for Mr. Dolan.
That betting is getting crazy, man. It's starting to impact the game. I mean, it always has, apparently, but
it is.
I don't like it, man.
I think this was also funny. Mike Breen asked Jalen Brunson, what is the key to the Knicks' success this season? And this is what Jalen Brunson had to say.
What's the key to this connection that this team has?
We low-key hate each other.
Look, man, they low-key hate each other, and that brings them. You don't want them to like each other, right? You kind of want them to hate each other, too. You know how you get into arguments sometimes with your friends, and it's all love at the end of the day. It just makes you stronger. And that's what this Knicks team is, you know?
Has to be. Has to be. Sometimes I just watch Jalen Brunson, you know, talking to Josh Hart on the sideline, you know, during timeouts and things like that. And it legit does look like they don't like each other, man. They barely like look at each other. They just walk by each other. You know, it's hilarious, man. But we got a great group of guys and the chemistry is off the charts, man.
Nick Yak, yeah, UConn Center reminds me of Hartenstein. I think national championships going on tonight right now. So I appreciate every single one of you in here joining us. You know, I'm not too much of a college basketball fan, but it's a big game. And appreciate you guys in here. Nick Yak says, you have to say game time decision to be that late. Yeah, that's all they're getting fined for after all the lies. See, yeah, man. Yo, Knicks and these injury reports, very finicky, man. Very, yeah. Look, they don't like it to be known, you know. They keep things in-house, you know. They keep things very much in-house. Jack City, a Knicks fan, just entered the chat. What's going on, Jack City? This team loves each other. Yeah, they love and hate each other at the same time. This day in Knicks history. You want to read it or...
Yes.
Yes, sir.
On this day, Carmelo Anthony had a game for the ages against the Chicago Bulls, who we will be seeing soon. Carmelo not only hit the game-time basket, but hit the game winner in a 199 win against the Bulls on April 8th. Melo had 45 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and a block. Shooting 4 of 5 from 3-point range. But the Knicks did have a record at the time of 29-27. But regardless, shout out to Carmelo Anthony. Yeah. You know, all-time Knick great in my opinion. It should have been more with Melo, man. It should have been more with Melo. But good memories nonetheless. I still remember that Bulls game and Breen, of course, with the calls.
Awesome. Yeah, so shout out to Melo. That was a crazy game. I remember that game too. Chris, anything else you wanted to touch on? This was great. We went through everything, the playoff scenarios. Look, we'll know more later on in the week, and then we'll hop on here later on in the week. I'll obviously be doing the post games and whatnot. Wanted to shout out to all of the channel members. If you want to support, it means a lot over here at Knicks Nation. If you want to join the community and help us out, I mean, it's only $2.99 a month. You can hit the join button and then I post, you know, behind the scenes videos and give you guys more content. We love doing this Knicks stuff for you guys. And if you guys wanted to help support the channel, you can hit the join button for as low as $2.99 a month. Immensely grateful for your time this Sunday, man. Every Sunday, well, this Monday, I keep saying Sunday. We were on it every Sunday, but, you know, unfortunately the Knicks played. So, yeah, man, appreciate every single one of you's time that you give us. And yeah, man, this was fun. This was another fun episode.
Good times, man. It's crazy to think already 43 episodes down, 44 to come.
Let's go, man. 4 games left. Let's end it on a 4-game. Let's the 4-0 this week. 4-0. So let's get the 50 wins. Let's wrap up this 3-3 seed. Let's get it done. I'm yes, Anthony. Sir.
I'm Chris.
Catch y'all guys next time. As always, it is Let's Go Knicks. Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.